Greet each one in the precious name of Jesus. For our text verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The phrase for a text verse is, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Toleration is developed by wrong associates, or what we see which affects our thinking. We would have to admit, everyone here tonight would have to admit, that we saw and thought on wrong things. This all began back there in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve. They are the example of the effects of our toleration of sin began. These so-called little sins have the mushroom effect. Like white lies, little faults, and proud excuses. We must label sin at what it is, or the deceptiveness of toleration will begin. These are some of the besetting sins that people tolerate: pride, envy, discouragement, resentment, wrong attitudes, ill will, hate, self-will, jealousy. And you could name some more. All these are beginning of toleration with many ill effects. This all reminds me of the high price that we pay for sin. The besetting sin generally has a prevailing advantage, and that's why we need to guard against it. The effects of sin are revealing and convincing. There will come a climax day, sometime. Then the conclusion of its devastating effects. The powers of darkness take over. This is the devil's desire to accomplish in us an overthrow. We may not take a passive or a negative attitude to his onslaughts. We must master him every day by that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We cannot tolerate anything that God does not approve. Sin is a voluntary transgression of God's word, simply disobedience, dwelling on immoral thoughts that lead to immoral actions, plus other sins. The neglect of duty that leads us to willful omission. We have a verse in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the others undone. To guard ourselves against toleration effects, we must involve ourselves with God's word that builds the inner man. When we deprive our soul of what it needs, toleration begins. These are some of the terms that apply: unrighteousness, ungodliness, wickedness, which express transgression, sin, and iniquity. All of these are of the devil. And the devil has one predominant name, that is pride. And this is classed as a deadly sin. Pride, the father of other sins. Many times we think we are able to handle ourselves. but we so soon find out that it handles us. The pride definitions are boasting, vainglory, haughty, high-mindedness. James 1:26 says that pride is an unbridled tongue. And in James 3:5 it says it boasts of great things. We have a man in Daniel chapter 5 by the name of Nebuchadnezzar who was such a man. He was a man that exalted himself. He was a man that thought he was a superior being. But you know what though, think that kind of thinking done? It brought him to nothing. And it'll bring every one of us to nothing when we have that kind of thinking. Loving to have the preeminence, diotrephes, in 3 John 9. There is only one person that has the preeminence over us, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Pride listed with 12 other sins by Jesus, Mark 7:21. For from without of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. The thing that works the best to control all of these is meekness. It controls pride and anger and many other sin problems that we might have. We have in Job 16:2, it speaks there about Job had three friends, but he called them miserable comforters. And these were miserable comforters were classed as what they spoke were vain words. And we have in Job 42:7, where it says that God's wrath was upon them because of what they spoke, what they represented. And Job had a sacrifice for them. How many vain words have we ever spoken that have condemned us, that God had to speak to us and tell us we have to make a change? What were the effects that we spoke? Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 3. For if a man thinketh himself to be nothing, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. In an impulse comes to say some unthoughted word today that may drive a friend away. Don't say it. If you've heard a word of blame cast upon your neighbor's name that may injure his fair name, fame, don't tell it. A malicious gossip's tongue, some wild slander may have flung on the head of old or young, don't repeat it. Thoughtful, kind, helpful speech, 'tis a gift promised to each. 'Tis the lesson we would teach, don't abuse it. One of the prime examples of our day is, and I suppose it was for all time, is allowing hurt feelings to control us. This has taken more Christians down. What are the effects? Peace and love will be dwarfed or missing in a life that is continually allowing hurt feelings. The causes are being slighted, not given rightful place, opinions and consultations rejected. Someone has said the scum of pride covers the soul because of toleration. How about these proud accomplishments that we're so fond of? The pride of life is of the world, 1 John 2:16. We have in Luke 18:13, here was a man, and says a Pharisee and a publican went up to the temple to pray. And this one man said, I'm glad I'm not like this man or like other men are. He was a self-exalter. He was a self-justifier. And someone has said, the only one that's high enough to look down on anyone is God. Hosea chapter 7. This is about Ephraim. Chapter 7, verse 8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also like a silly dove without heart. Here we have in these verses to tell us what pride does to us. It imbalances us. The only way that we're imbalanced, that we're out of balance, is if we allow that to take hold of us. And the only way we're balanced is if we have Jesus Christ controlling us. A cake half turned is an imbalance. It's only half. In verse 9, it speaks about strength gone before their time. Old age set in and they didn't know it. When old age sets in our spiritual life, sometimes we don't know it. It comes gradual, a gradual process, and we allow toleration. You'll soon experience the effects of it. And that's when old age sets in our spiritual life and we don't know it. Verse 10 and 11, he says it made them blind, it made them helpless to discern what God wanted them to do. They come to a place of desolation and emptiness. And all of us will come to the same place if we start allowing something like pride to overrun us and rule our life. And if we go back to chapter 4, in verse 6, it tells you the reason why they came to this place. It says there that they forgot God's training program. And that's where we'll all come to. And we forget God's training program, we'll come to the same place as Ephraim did. It destroyed them. He says they were destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, the knowledge was there, it was available, but they didn't take it. And that's how, and everyone is destroyed today because they don't look into God's word and see what it says. They have no excuse. There are no excuses today to tolerate anything in life that God don't want there. There is a power of selfishness, the proud and willful I. Before the Lord can reign in me, the proud old self must die. Covetousness, its causes. In a strong desire for things that we don't need. It's classed as idolatry in Colossians 3:5. It's classed as the love of money in 1 Timothy 6:10. It causes theft in Joshua 7:21. And that's in the life of Achan. And what we find in around us today are things like this. There's $100 billion annually cheated in taxes. $4 billion is from department stores. 60% of employees use their employer's postage meters. Now, I'm not familiar with that. That's some of the things that, here's a little bit more. It says that people that live a room in motels when they leave, about one-third of them take things along that don't belong to them. 50 to 90% of business thefts are people that take things along home that they think the business owes to them that don't belong to them. I had a neighbor one time, and every time he went home, he put in his lunch bucket what he could put in there. Lying, 2 Kings 5:22, Gehazi. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, they were pretenders or hypocrites. That's what covetousness does. And if you go to chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, you'll find out that this word is with all the other, what people would call major sins, but to me sin is sin regardless. There it is. You cannot enter heaven if that is a part of us. The cure, what someone has said like this, the cure for covetousness is giving instead of getting. Lust. Lust is an evil desire, and it's an enticement. James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it includes deceit. Lust is deceitful. It's enticing, it's deceitful. And in chapter 4, if you go back to verses 2 and 3, Paul reminds there the Ephesians that what they were delivered from, they were delivered from this lust. He said they were in the world, but now they're not a part of the world anymore. A reminder to them. Romans chapter 1, we have verse 24 to 32. There's a catalog of sins there where this is named right in the midst of them. Lust. Anger. Uncontrolled causes hate. Murder. Cain is the example. Genesis 4, 5 to 7 and 1 John 3. But it says there, if thou doest well, it says there in Genesis, if thou doest well, wilt thou not be accepted? We have something to do to help to stop toleration in our life. We have something to do. The remedy for anger was rejected by Cain. And too many times it's rejected by Christians. Here we have a great man, Moses, in the Bible, the meekest man in all the earth. But you know what it says? One day he spoke ill-advisedly with his lips. He became angry. In Numbers 20, verse 10, you know what it done? It kept him out of the promised land. It kept him from fulfilling the task that God had wanted him to fulfill. That's what it does. And now we can ask the question, what is it doing? If we have a problem with that, what is it doing to us? What is it doing to us? What are the effects? Balaam, man that got angry. Other sins. He loved the wages on unrighteousness. He had immoral thinking with that. 2 Peter 2:15, Jude 11, and Revelation 4, 2:14. He was slain in battle. In Number 31:8, a life of defeat because of toleration and the effects that we see there readily. Saul, King Saul. The Spirit of the Lord departed, 1 Samuel 16:14. And then when that happened, he had no power. He had no control of himself. He was angry at Jonathan because he favored David. How many people that were favored above us, did he become angry? Did it affect us in any way if somebody was favored above us? In verse 34, it says that his sins increased. And included these others yet. Self-will, disobedience, jealousy, superstition, and suicide. All down the line. One after another. Jonah became angry. What did it do for him? It caused him to have lack of love, compassion. He complained. He avoided other responsibilities, easily upset. Illustration. There were two preachers that went to a restaurant, and the waitress spilled a glass of water on the one preacher, and he left a number of unbecoming words. And the other, you know what the other preacher said? When she comes out again, witness to her. Do you think he could? Do you think we could? The other illustration is, there was a certain woman had an unsaved husband, and she prayed and prayed for this husband to be saved. And she also got the brotherhood to pray for her husband. but nothing happened. But the preacher found out that she had a problem with anger. And he called her and talked to her and said that you'd better have a meeting with Jesus Christ. And then you may get some results. So she did. And she got control of her anger. And then one day, her husband hit her prize lamp and it fell to the floor and broke into a lot of pieces. And you know what he was looking for? But she said, well, you couldn't help that. We'll save some money and we'll buy another one. She said, what happened to you? Well, she said, I had a meeting with the Lord Jesus and I got control of my anger. But he said, if that's how it works, that's what I want too. Does the way we perform in life, does it have any effects on us and other people? Gluttony. Philippians 3:19, I won't read that verse. That's the one I'm applying to this. Overindulgence. It's living in excess. It involves all of life. Giving in to strong carnality desires that affect the proper body functioning and produces complications. The self-ruled life is not ashamed and only thinks of the present. The involvement of poor stewardship, and we have that all around us today because of plenty of people are involved in poor stewardship and in a wasting society. How has it affected us? It has drawn many from the soul's need. How has it affected us? Has it affected our soul's need? God don't want it to. He don't want us to be overthrown. We may be involved in using right things wrong. And we need a guard against that. That's a toleration that'll affect us all throughout life. Envy. 2 Corinthians 12:20. This is speaking about the fellowship. Maybe I should read that verse. 2 Corinthians 12:20. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, wellings, tumults. That's what Paul is saying. I'm referring this to envy in the fellowship. God does not want it there. Here is a sin that will so easily beset us if it's tolerated, and it'll bring forth a bitter harvest. We need to, our efforts need to be for a clean, pure fellowship that we can enjoy. And we need to do everything possible to maintain that. If we haven't begun, Peter has a remedy for it. It's in 1 Peter 2:1-2. He says we need to desire the sincere milk of the word. That's where we begin. And then we need to go on with from there. James chapter 3, verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's the results, the tolerating effects. Envy effects tell where we are spiritually. It tells us the toleration level that we have when we tolerate something. It'll tell on our spiritual life what level it is. What does the scripture say else about envy? Mark chapter 9. Verse 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him because he followed not us. Numbers chapter 11. Verse Verse 27. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. Envy. What is it doing for us? In Psalms chapter 73, verses 2 and 3 and 17, I'm going to include in this, and it says there, when I saw, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But he said, when I went into the sanctuary, then saw I their latter end. You know, when we get into the sanctuary, we get any place and we get a meeting with God, then we see things in a different light than we saw before. He says, my feet had well nigh slipped. Do we have a lot of slippage spiritually? But if we have a meeting with God, when we get into the sanctuary and have a meeting with God, we'll have better traction than we ever had spiritually. If this is our continual experience to have a meeting with God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our spiritual slippage will be at a minimum because we'll have all the traction that we need. Idleness is being unfruitful, barren, bondage, inferior because of lack of experience, not doing anything worthwhile. And this example we have in Matthew chapter 25, verse 26 to 27, where Jesus mentions, here was one that received one talent, and all he did with it was bury it in the ground. He said, you should have taken that and given it to the exchangers for interest. Him out. Destruction enters in when we are involved in using our time unprofitable. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. And if we believe that God is in everything, we'll include the natural things as well as the spiritual, that God is in everything and we're not slothful in anything. There is no cooling off. God can't tolerate any cooling off or lack of interest in the natural or spiritual. We need to put zeal and effort into our experience. We can't be, as mentioned in the class tonight, I spoke about being neutral. But you don't get anywhere when you're in a neutral position. The only way you'll get in, the illustration is if a car is on a hill and it's in neutral, it'll run downhill by itself. But you know, if it gets so far down there, it stops and it don't move anymore. Neutral will bring us to a standstill. This I'm not going to read. This is, I'm going to give you analysis in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12 to 18 of a neutral analysis. Here it speaks about a stagnant life that ended with impure thoughts and wrong concepts of God, useless works, heartaches, anguish of soul, torments, trouble of all kinds. And that's what we end up with. If we depend on anything else except what God's prescribed method is, we'll end up in failure. And exactly what I mentioned here about this chapter in Zephaniah. We need to come to the place where we have our deliverance and all that we need in Jesus Christ. Sin tolerated is said like a pebble in a shoe. Did you ever walk? How many miles did you walk with a pebble in your shoe? It's very irritating and painful. We'll experience that, and that's so how sin is when it's tolerated, and that's the effects of it. It's so irritating and painful and misery. Leisure time is included with idleness. It is said that leisure time will, with no commitments, empties the soul and will seek entertainment for satisfaction. What are the proper commitments that we need to have today? What are proper commitments for if we say we have any leisure time, if we have any, what are proper commitments to that? How about visitation? How about giving help where help is needed?
How about outreach work? How about witness? How about right reading and music interests? This will all help in keeping the tolerated sin out of us. This is the help that the society needs today, the testimony that a society needs today. The kind that we live among. Our spiritual life must be more than only so-called leisure time. Or the effects of toleration will be expressed. Responsibility will do right. Responsibility in doing right is a soul conditioner. If Jesus is Lord of all time, we are never off duty. We never have any spare time. All to God be the glory. Colossians 3:17. Included in idle time is the thinking today in getting something for nothing. And through the mail, probably some more of you got this in the mail, you're eligible to win so much money, big amount of money, promoted by a secular magazine clearinghouse has a large variety of magazines to choose from that you're to subscribe for. Secular magazines. How much do they feed the soul? How much? Feeds the carnal man. That it does. And you know what's wrong with that? In the middle of all those popular magazines, I never knew there was so many. I knew they had a lot of magazines, but I never knew there was that many. But right in the middle of those magazines that were advertised, they have the garbage can magazine listed, Playboy. It's the devil's tool to take us down the immoral road of toleration that many are involved in. It's one of the highest priced magazines on sale. It's a soul damning. These secular magazines are soul damning. You know what else they do? They rob us of the time that we ought to be alone with God. To meditate, read the word, sing, pray. Like the songwriter says, write on my heart every word. Is that what we're interested in? Is that our goal today, that God writes on our heart every word? I believe if his word is wrote on our heart, we have no place that sin will be tolerated and we'll not experience the effects of it. We have a record of a man in the Bible that was a king that tolerated sin. 2 Samuel chapter 11, we have here King David. This is how it is said. Some of it isn't quite the way I changed it around. That David was up on the balcony watching Beth when he should have been out in the battle. Idleness. Tolerating idleness. You know, if we are in that kind of position, we won't be able to cope with the battle in our life. Every day there's a battle here. And we won't be able to cope with it. We'll be tolerating some sin when we get caught up in some kind of these sins that, like idleness. You know, it didn't stop there. The sin of indifference was there. Lust. Impurity in thought, adultery, the murder of a man, Uriah, no love or compassion expressed. The toleration of sin and its effects brings fear, self-confidence, immoral behavior, self-deception, and anguish. And the results and effects or in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 10, then Nathan the prophet comes and tells David what the effects of this sin is. He says, the sword will not depart from your house, and your lives will be given to other men, and you cause the enemies of God an opportunity to blaspheme. And that's what we'll do. When we tolerate sin, we'll cause the enemies of God to blaspheme. And that's why we need to have our guards up. It doesn't matter what we are in life, if we are a king or what status we have in life, that doesn't make a bit of difference to God. When it's sin involved, the consequences will be suffered. Samson was another Bible character that fell into this trap. His natural eyesight he lost. But before he lost his natural eyesight, he lost his spiritual eyesight, because he said, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord departed, and he didn't know it. Judges 16:20. That's a sad place to be in. Pay for tolerating sin. You know what was sad more beside that? He depended on himself, his own strength, to deliver him. And he found out it doesn't work. And so will we find out the same way that it does not work. Deception is a cruel master. All tolerated sin is under God's judgment. The effects are real. We see also in Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they went down alive into the pit because of rebellion. Is it easier to preach and talk about Bible characters that fell into sin and tolerate it in ourselves? Someone has said some preachers don't preach about the scriptures that talk about depth of sin because they're condemned in it. Are we willing to hear and put ourselves on the altar, and then we have any problems and the prophet says, thou art the man? How do we respond? The Lord don't overlook anything. We can find the solution in Jesus Christ by being made aware of sin's effects. You have to understand. We understand that it should help us not to tolerate sin. In Luke chapter 10, verse 12, Jesus speaks of, it says it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And I believe that we can include ourselves all from that time on down to now. It'll be more tolerable in the judgment day for Sodom and Gomorrah than will for any of us if we fall into sin and don't repent of it. Then we know better. Robert Burns, who tolerated immorality and sin in his life, died at the age of 38. He wrote like this: O man, while in thy early years, a prodigal of time, misspending all thy precious hours in thy glorious youthful prime. Here's another. If we learn to love God early in the springtime of life's days, and we follow godly footsteps, we'll be led in godly ways. Youth misspent can make heartache and misery in old age. One of the greatest evils and effects of tolerated sin is not only affecting us, but so many times it affects others. Sin is sin, and it's not a weakness. Jesus said, except you repent, you're going to perish. Luke 13:3. God has given warning against sin, known or unknown. We cannot excuse ourselves. There is justice today with mercy, at the judgment day without. Can we sing, oh, to be like him, and in his glory we'll shine? We can. we are yielded to Him and we do not tolerate sin. If we do, we have no power to stop the effects. Another scripture is in Mark 9:43. Here Jesus talks about severe measures. We need to go out of the way. If we have sin, any sin temptations, we need to go out of the way. Take severe measures that we do not be caught and tolerate sin. We need to come back to our text verse. The sin which does so easily beset us. That will help us to understand the problems that are involved in the effects of tolerated sin. Jesus is near, and His help is never late. You need to understand that. If tolerated sin has been our experience, here's another short poem. O Lord, return to me your power that once by grace I knew. Forgive the sin that grieved your heart and help me to be true. Be sure your sin will find you out. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Sin is always effective. Let's not tolerate it to find out.